Coming to you live from the Hall of Truth, it's the Nate Darling Show.
Fire a warning shot across her nose.
With Jason Casey and Kareem Daniels. And now, relax, good citizen.
Nothing! You've got nothing!
Here's Nate.
Hello. Now, just so you know, if we drop a weird reference on you, we're recording this before Christmas. But you're not hearing it until after Christmas.
Oh, boom.
So we jumbled things because we're not going to come in and record on Christmas and New Year's.
Unfortunately.
I don't know if it's unfortunately or not, but we're not doing it.
We're not doing it.
Not gonna. So we're gonna mix it in and put new shows out on Wednesdays for the next couple weeks, and best ofs the other time. Not best ofs, but classic episodes. So, there you go.
There you go.
That's how we roll. Before we get into anything else, I know it's not, it is after Christmas as we hear the show, but I do have something for each of you. Let me reach back. Jason, if you could take the one with your name on it and pass the other one on to Kareem. go ahead and read the back. Kareem.
Happy pagan holiday. Mine says Merry Christmas.
It does. Go ahead. You both got the exact same thing.
Mm. Happy Saturnalia. Thank you, sir.
Ooh, yeah, baby.
Gift cards to Old Soul. I went to Old Soul and 40 Acres in Oak Park.
Oh, God.
And let me tell you this. This was not shocking to me, but it really drives home the point of how Oak Park has changed. There were as many black people in Old Soul when I went to pick those cards up as there are in this room right now. The exact same number.
That sounds about right.
It was a lot of white people and a few Asian folk too, but not a lot of African Americans. Which is very interesting. Now, the first time I went into Old Soul, which was quite a while ago, it was a very different sort of makeup in terms of the clientele,
mm-hmm.
right near the Guild Theater there. But
I think a lot of those, I won't say those people, but
what do you mean those people?
Oak Park residents, people that have lived in that, they go to Broadway Coffee, which is down the street further.
Oh.
Because that place, when it first opened up, didn't have a whole lot of people at it. But now it's usually always full, and it's a pretty diverse crowd.
Okay.
Yeah.
Is that where you go?
No, I go to... This is right by my house. So. This is perfect. My wife will love the fact that I have this.
So enjoy that. It's not a ton, but it's a little token of my esteem.
Well, thank you.
So that was my fun Oak Park story, is that where have all the black people gone?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, even Kareem doesn't live there.
Exactly.
It's a perfect illustration of the problem.
He has a half a black couple that lives next door, don't you?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
You mean an interracial couple?
Interracial couple, yeah.
Okay. I mean, it could be anything. It could be two biracial people.
Yeah. But yeah, he has a... What's that guy's name
Daryl.
Again? Daryl, yeah.
Daryl and Joanna.
Okay.
Yeah, they're pretty cool. I believe I'm horrible with I believe he's from Atlanta.
Oh,
and Joanna is from here, or her family lives here now.
All right.
Yeah.
So
good times. So let's talk a little bit about what we've done recently. I mean, it's gonna be a little bit old at that point, but Kareem, mm-hmm. you just returned from Arizona.
Yes, I went to go meet my grandson Ryan.
How'd that go?
It was great, except for the flight down got delayed by 4 hours.
Which is longer than the flight.
Fuck you, American Airlines. They didn't offer any compensation, no nothing. I just kept getting text messages. That's
pushing, make American great again.
Yeah, pushing us back 30, 45 minutes. So we ended up leaving at 8:45, which put us getting into Arizona at like 11:30.
Ugh.
By the time we got the rental car, it was like midnight, and I wanted to choke two little white boys out on the bus to get the rental car because their parents haven't taught them any the concept of personal space.
Or self-control.
Mm-hmm. Or self-control. Jason, do us all a favor, and yourself, and teach your daughter personal space, personal boundaries. She can't be getting up in other people's face.
Yeah.
just letting you know.
Yeah.
I'm a nice, calm black man, but if she gets in a black woman's face, she might get slapped.
Oh, well, I'm sure.
Or both of y'all might get slapped. I'm just going to let you know.
I'm sure that CJ will be a perfect angel.
Sure.
Yes. But got to spend time with my grandkids. One is a little badass white boy. But he made me dress up with his Spider-Man hat.
I saw that.
And my James Harrison hat.
Right.
I posted it on Instagram, and James Harrison liked it.
Nice.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Very, very nice.
Yeah, so that was happened this afternoon.
Have you recovered from the Steelers losing to the Patriots, or are you still in a weepy, mournful state over that one?
I'm not in a weepy, mournful state because if you play the Patriots, you should expect the referees to cheat.
Well,
it's just as simple as
that. Oh, my God. I have never encountered in the entirety of sports, and you're not even remotely on the far end of ridiculous, but I have never met a bigger fan base of snowflakes than Pittsburgh Steelers fans, because the Steelers can go out, dirty hit a whole game, break a guy's neck, and they're like, that's how you play football. They have one call go against them, and it's like, the referees are all against us, and
No.
Yeah, exactly. I will show you my feet.
Yes, and the only game that is like that is the Patriots games, because that's the only game that they cheat every time we play them.
No, it's because they're in a division with Cincinnati, Cleveland, and Baltimore, and those teams suck. So they get a walkthrough.
Cincinnati. Oh, wait. Oh, the Patriots don't get a walkthrough?
The Patriots lost to the Dolphins.
The Patriots got... Wait.
The Bills have 10 wins.
The Patriots have won 5 Super Bowls just on the fact that they were in the AFC East and they had a walkthrough. They had a walkthrough.
Yeah, they walked through the Steelers through, several times.
They had a walkthrough every time, every year.
Walked right through the Steelers.
Yeah. Every year they have a walkthrough. They got 6 guaranteed wins a season in their division.
Let me tell you, here's what the Patriots
except for the Browns, because the Browns, and even the Browns play tough when we play them. But the Ravens and the Bengals, those are always knockdown, drag-out fights. So you can say about whatever their record is at the end of the year, those games are games for people who played football in the 70s, not who played as pansy-ass football that you play when you play against the Patriots, where if anybody touches Tom Brady or breathes on Gronk, you get a fucking flag. But your guy can be running across the field, making a one-hand catch, with his arm being held by the guy from the New England Patriots, and you don't get a flat.
Jason, does this sound like a sad tale of woe to you?
This is like,
I don't have a dog in the fight here. I mean, I kind of like the Patriots, but I couldn't care less. They're going to make the playoffs.
I can't wait. Oh, I can't.
and this is not a sad tale of woe, but because that's exactly what happened.
Again,
if you watch,
if you look at my Facebook feed in particular, and you as I said, you fall in the middle on the more reasonable end, but there are some Steeler fans that you would have thought someone kidnapped their dog and shit in their bed. Because of a call against the Patriots. You know what the Patriots
are? No. It's not just a call. Come on now. You're saying a call against the Patriots. You're not saying that
I didn't see the game.
Oh, it's he didn't see the game. Oh.
I never claimed I did.
It's just a call. It's just a call against the game. It's a game-winning call. That's what they're mad about.
Oh,
it's the call that decides the game.
Here's the thing. a real champion doesn't get taken down at the last minute.
That's the call against the game.
Look, all that happened was I saw my Facebook feed And I know a lot of people who are Steelers fans, and they were all very sad, like crying Michael Jordan type sad.
Yeah, because we scored the winning touchdown. They said it's not a catch. We're like, what the fuck are you talking about? There's not a catch.
I don't know.
That's what it was.
Just funny.
I want to tell you guys about this game that I'm playing right now, but I can't because I signed an NDA. So I can't, like, that's the only thing I would be able to add to this conversation. Something else that I would, that I enjoy as much as that, because there's nothing that I get that, like, when it comes to sports, like.
And being somebody who's actually coached sports and know how shit works now, I'm totally happy with that game, because I know that when the playoffs come.
Yeah.
We're going to whoop that ass.
Look.
Point blank, period.
And the thing about sports is a lot of times it evens out in the end.
Yeah.
Over the long play, it evens out.
Yeah. Because Antonio Brown got hurt in the second quarter, like the early part of the second quarter. And Joe Hayden will be back by the time we play them again in the playoffs. So just having those two people back, and as long as Le'Veon Bell doesn't get injured, oh, yeah, we're going to whoop that ass in the playoffs.
So, Jason, what were you up to? What have you been up to? Kareem went to Arizona.
So, let's see. This last weekend, we went to go see Santa again. It was a second time with Santa.
Oh, okay. Just really driving the point home.
Well, the first time she cried. As usual. So, I mean, like, I was not, and it was like Santa, it was like a Santa that had he definitely had a black beard. So it was like white, like it was like tried to make a white beard. So that would kind of scare anybody, I think.
So he looked like Wolfman Jack.
Yeah, it did not look like Santa. I mean, he looked like Santa because he was a fat white guy. With a beard. It's like my coworker, she said the other day, she said I look like, she's like, she said that I'd make a good Santa one day. I'm like, you just call me fat.
Kind of did.
This
is a backhanded compliment.
Yeah, no, but fat guy. This Santa was a much more classic Santa, and looked real and like, CJ was totally happy and like smiled. They had a really kind of precious moment where they looked at each other.
I saw those photos.
Yeah. Yeah.
So now that I know that there had been a previous incident.
Where she was crying. Like Chris is so excited. She was so happy. So we did that, and it was like, our realtor put it on, and it was like, there's like mimosas and Santa is what it was.
Well, sure.
So let's see. We did that, and then, the Cheesemans had a party. Their annual Christmas party.
Okay.
And, we did not go.
Fuck you, Cheeseman.
No, you know, Cheeseman, Frisbee, Yana Frisbee. Yana and Aaron's party, and we did not go. Like, and we did the mimosas thing, and then we went shopping. Afterwards, and we got home, and it was like 5 o'clock, 5:30. CJ hadn't taken a nap, and it was like, Chris was like, I'm not gonna go. It starts at 7. CJ hasn't had a nap tonight. She's gonna be really tired.
And you didn't want to go solo.
And I was like, yeah, I don't want to go by myself, you know, cause
you didn't want to go sit on Santa's lap by yourself.
Well, I don't think Santa's gonna be at that party. I don't know. It's just, without Chris there, it would have felt, I needed her. So.
So I have a tale of two Christmas parties.
Ah, all right.
We had our Christmas party at Fox 40.
Mm-hmm.
And it's nice. You know, what we do is we have, three food trucks that come in, set it up with Sacto Mofo.
Mm-hmm.
There's two like main course trucks and there's a dessert truck.
Awesome.
And so you get a ticket for a main course and a ticket for a dessert. And then we meet in the studio afterward. It's in the middle of the day. And then there's like raffle prizes. And mm-hmm. they range from, I think the big prizes were there was a BB-8 model robot, that was raffled off. And there were also a couple of, 2-day passes to Disney.
Oh, awesome.
Cool. So there were some good things like that. There was also some items from canceled Fox shows that were, handed out. So that was really nice. You know, we had Bacon Mania and Chondos, and we had an ice cream truck, too. So that was nice. This past weekend, went to, Leslie's IKEA Christmas party, and Ooh. It's, the new IKEA American Canyon Distribution Center that she is the head honcho at.
Oh.
So it was kind of a small gathering because they're not open yet. They're not operating as a business. thing, so they've just got the overall, they've got the overall management structure there, and they're still in the process of hiring people and getting ready. So it was, I think 13 or 14 people and their spouses that were there. And it was at the Meritage, Resort and Spa over in Napa, which is very, it's very large.
Mm-hmm.
It's very nice and they're expanding. So we did that and Leslie signed me up for a, cocktail making, class.
Ooh.
It was a Hennessy cocktail making class and it's the first, mixology class that they've had there. It's something new that they're trying. So I've never had Hennessy.
Yeah.
So I go and, I'm working on stuff, you know, and you're making you make the three drinks. They walk you through it all. And then at the end, they spring this on us. He goes, okay, everybody, we're going to have a contest now. And whoever's drink I like the best is going to get this bottle of Hennessy. It's a bottle of Hennessy VSOP.
Mm-hmm.
So it's decent stuff. So we've got all the ingredients. And as I start to, I'm going, okay, I'm going to do this. Cause there's like this 18-year-old peaty smelling scotch. There's an espresso liqueur. There's maple syrup. There's all the ingredients we had for the other drinks there. And he goes, oh, by the way, you have to put Hennessy in it. And I'm like, duh. That was not in my plans. But I did mix it up. Mine was actually done first before anybody else's was. So mine was the first one he tasted. And mine was, I'll give you the recipe. See if you, and it's not going to be exact because I don't know exactly what some of the things were. But it was a half an ounce of maple syrup.
Mm-hmm.
It was a half an ounce of Hennessy.
Mm-hmm.
It was 2 ounces of 18-year-old scotch.
Mm.
And it was an ounce and a half of espresso liqueur mixed with ice and strained.
Hmm.
That's it.
Hmm.
And he takes a taste and he looks over and he does this look that guys do where he nods and he points and he nods.
Yeah.
But then he's got to taste everybody else's. So I'm like, all right, great. And everybody else is like, oh, that's really good. What'd you do there? Oh, that's really good. What'd you do there? Then at the end, I'm just sitting there drinking my drinks. I'm like, well, I'm not going to win anything. So I'm enjoying my drink. He comes back. He goes, can I have another taste of that? I'm like, yeah, go ahead. So he takes another taste. He goes, yeah, this is our winner. So
awesome.
And then he goes, and then he says, hey, can we try something with this? And I said, sure. So he goes, let's try zesting this lemon and see what happens when we put that in there. So he takes the lemon, and we'd been doing this for some of the other drinks. So he takes the little lemon, the peeler, does a little lemon zest on it, squeezes it in there, and ruined the drink.
It curdled up.
It ruined the drink. And he goes, he takes a sip of it. He goes, that's why I'm a teacher. But, and I'm not sure when it's starting or how long it's going to be there, but if you go to the Meritage Resort and Spa, I'm not sure which bar it is, they will have the Maple Darling on the menu.
Oh, right on.
So, boom!
Cool.
Boom.
You're a cocktail artist also.
I am a mixologist, motherfuckers. I'm a man of many talents, and I didn't even know what I'm doing. It was just pure guesswork, and it just all sort of came together. So,
but you know all those things except for Hennessy.
Well, yeah, and Hennessy at that point, I kind of knew what it was, and the big thing was once I smelled how peaty that scotch was, I'm like, I need to balance that out with like the espresso liqueur, which I had not tasted. So I'm just guessing.
Oh, so you didn't even taste any of this stuff before you?
I had not tasted the scotch. I had smelled the scotch. I had not tasted it. I had smelled the espresso liqueur. Obviously, I had tasted the Hennessy, and I know what maple syrup tastes like.
Yeah.
But no. So this was all just pure guesswork.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, get a bottle.
What did it taste like?
You had that smoky smell of peaty scotch,
mm-hmm.
and then it tasted a little bit like a dark coffee.
Oh yeah, okay.
It tasted a little like an Irish coffee, but without cream.
Oh, awesome.
Yeah, it was a delight. And then the next day we went to Francis Ford Coppola Winery,
mm-hmm.
which was also amazing.
Yeah.
I had not been there before, so.
And it didn't all burn?
No.
Okay.
No. The funny thing about Napa and that whole area is while they had a lot of stuff that burned, there's a lot of stuff that has come back very quickly, and then there's a lot of stuff that never actually burned.
Mm-hmm.
Like neighborhoods in Santa Rosa burned. Yeah. There were a lot of things here and there that burned, but there is still literally hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of acres
right.
that were not impacted by the fires. And that's been one of their things is going, hey, we're open for business. Come out. Don't be afraid to come out and visit Napa.
we don't want to see a bunch of charred remains and
right?
stuff.
Right.
So, we're not doing any tours in Solano County right now. Just, here in Napa. We're talking, Healdsburg. St. Helena. This place is good.
Healdsburg, that is where Francis Ford Coppola's winery
is.
Yeah,
that's a good one. It's, when I used to drink wine.
Imbibe.
Yeah, that was one of my favorites. There's also another place called Cosentino, which, is in St. Helena, I think.
Okay.
Well, that was really great too. And then Vista Tui. Like there's this place Vista Tui that's out there where you can only get the wine there at that location. Except for one place. There's one place I was at and they had it, but you have to go to the winery in order to pick up the wine.
Yeah.
So yeah, sorry.
Nice.
Yeah. There's nothing. Yeah. Yeah.
All right.
He said it like he did something wrong.
He did sort of bring the thing to a screeching halt, but that's okay. So the Carolina Panthers apparently have launched an internal investigation into allegations of workplace misconduct against the team's owner, Jerry Richardson. And then 2 days later, the NFL took over the investigation. And I'm like, what is going on? Because everybody's very tight-lipped about it. Well, in a report in Sports Illustrated, it was revealed that at least four former Panthers employees received significant monetary settlements for inappropriate workplace comments and conduct by Richardson. Among the allegations are sexually inappropriate comments directed at female employees, such as, "Show me how you wiggle to get those jeans up. I bet you had to lay down on your bed to fit into those jeans. Did you step into those jeans, or did you have to jump into them?"
Gene Day, was pretty much women show me your ass day.
Well, that's great, but, then there were also the perceptions of casual racism. When multiple sources told SI that Richardson directed a racial slur at an African American scout for the Panthers, the scout left the team this year, but not according to sources before he sought the counsel of a Charlotte attorney who negotiated a confidential settlement on his behalf. Contacted by SI and asked if he wished to comment, the scout responded, "I'm not in a position to talk."
He's like, "I got my $1 million. Leave me the fuck alone."
I got it. So, anyway.
Told you, there are white people that want to be slave masters. That guy's one of those white people.
He is now selling the Panthers. and we have a potential buyer already lined up. I was very, not shocked by this, but, you know, when you can have a celebrity owner, you want to get a celebrity owner, right?
I believe it's time to turn the franchise over to new ownership.
Well, I need to send a message out to everybody in the beautiful state of North Carolina. I will be the best NFL owner that you can imagine.
Diddy.
I will immediately address the Colin Kaepernick situation and put him in the running for next year's starting quarterback. It's just competition, baby. It's just competition. But also,
that's
I will
he
have
lost
the
me.
Best halftime show, the best selection of music, and we will win Super Bowl after Super Bowl. Okay, y'all.
Okay. That's where he lost me.
Was it the halftime act?
No.
The Colin Kaepernick situation?
The Colin Kaepernick situation.
Look,
he can be Cam Newton's backup.
Right.
But he's not, you're not bringing him in to be in competition with Cam because there's no competition there.
Well, so, Kaepernick had a little different idea. He tweeted, and I quote, "I want in on the ownership group. Let's make it happen."
Right.
Yeah. That's
look, that lets you know which one of the two are the smartest. Cap knows ownership. So with the NFL teams, the teams that are always in the running are the teams that have good ownership.
Yes.
So the Patriots, the Steelers, the Packers, I would say the Saints.
Not the Bears.
Not the Bears.
Not the Raiders.
The Saints.
Not the Raiders.
In Seattle. So those five teams are always in the running because they have good ownership.
And quarterbacks.
And quarterbacks. But the other part of that is they have ownership that
understands.
That does enough to help their coaches and general managers be in a position to succeed. And they don't want to be a part of the show. They're supportive of their players. They're supportive of the community. And they stay the fuck out of the way.
Right.
That's good ownership. He would be one of those owners. He would be Black Jerry Jones. That's what he would be.
Well, and if Kaepernick's an owner, does he then insert himself as a starting quarterback?
No. Kaepernick's smart. Look, Kaepernick.
Yeah, he's smart.
Kaepernick's smart enough to want to win, and he's going to get the fuck out of the way.
Meanwhile, a scissors-wielding nutcase told police in Portland that his wife, Taylor Swift, directed him to attack a man on a Portland street. That's according to court filing. Cops report that Brent Thixton, who's 43, was acting weird. Well, they do say to keep Portland weird, and menacing passerbys on Sunday morning when he began to chase victim Andrew Rice. As Rice ran from Thixton, the alleged assailant swung at him with what appeared to be a knife. He suffered a small laceration on his back. When officers apprehended Thixton, he said that he sought to stab Rice because, quote, "my wife told me to kill him," end quote, then identified his spouse as Taylor Swift. Asked about the 28-year-old singer's whereabouts, he replied, "we are one."
That's scary shit.
He then ceased answering police questions after telling cops that he had, quote, "a top secret clearance." He's charged with an assortment of felonies and misdemeanors. He's being held in the county jail in lieu of $277,500 bail.
He is not being held in the right place.
No. He should be in the mental place.
Exactly.
He ain't right.
That shouldn't even be a conversation. That's where they should have took him straight. 5150 his ass.
I wonder if they've closed all those places in Oregon as well. Meanwhile, in Canton, Ohio, it's hard to talk about Canton without mentioning John Vinsky. He's been the mayor since 2010 and is well known by many people who live in the part of the Bradford County. And come on, Internet. Oh, there's going to be an ad first. Ooh. What are they selling? There's people running. Oh, is that a Garmin? No, it's the new Fitbit. Oh, there you go. Now for the news. County.
Tonight, as his term in office is winding down, the mayor is accused of hiring a hooker. NewsWatch 16's Nikki Fries, live from our Central Pennsylvania newsroom. Nikki.
Scott and Charlotte, in addition to being Canton's mayor, John Vinsky is also known as Santa Claus. He's played Canton Santa for more than three decades, but was told to step down this year. That's because he was arrested yesterday for patronizing a prostitute. It's hard to talk about Canton without mentioning 60-year-old John Vinsky. He's been mayor since 2010 and is well known by people who live in this part of Bradford County.
Every time I see him, he always gives me a hug, and we kind of joke around and talk a little bit.
Now as the mayor gets ready to leave office, he finds himself on the other side of the law. Vinsky was arrested and charged with patronizing a prostitute. Canton police say the mayor solicited a woman on Craigslist in September and paid her $300 for a massage. Police found Vinsky with a woman in early November after they were called to his home for a disturbance.
This is a disgrace for the community. It truly is. This is a disgrace. and an embarrassment.
The person in question I've known for a very long time, and yeah, I mean, it is what it is. If he did it, he did it.
As well as being mayor, Vineski is also known here in Canton as Santa Claus.
That's how I've known him my entire life.
For more than three decades, Vineski dressed up as Canton's Santa Claus. He was seen in parades and at parties. Police tell Newswatch 16 Vineski was not Canton Santa this year. Vineski lost his bid for re-election this year and only
Santa.
Has about a month left in office. Even so, some people think he should resign.
Oh, definitely. Definitely.
Maybe one mistake shouldn't maybe define a whole person's persona, in my opinion. I mean, we all make mistakes. We all do things that are bad. So, you know, but I think there's bigger problems than that.
Ho, 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 who's been a naughty girl? I'm sorry, that's
Santa.
It's Canton, Pennsylvania. I apologize.
Was he married? Did it say that if he was married or not?
They did not say if he was married or not.
All right.
If he were married, I'm guessing they would have said so. The shot that was weird is the shots of his house. It looked like a house with multiple apartments in it because it had like several mailboxes hanging on the wall outside. So
somebody hooked the mayor up.
Well, I mean, Jerry Springer long ago got caught with a prostitute when he was the mayor of Cincinnati, because he bounced a check to her. That's so funny. I don't know.
I don't think it's a big, here's the thing. It's like, if he's not married and he's not like lying to somebody and like,
but it is illegal and he is the mayor.
Yeah.
Should he resign? He's only got a month left.
No, just let him finish it out.
Kareem, what do you say?
It's gonna be more.
Let him finish it out. But in this day and age, where everybody's on the witch hunt.
Yeah, but there's less than a month left. What exactly is he going to do?
Well, I mean, like, unless the person that's taking over can take. I mean, like, if they could just put that there's like nothing except for like the guy that's supposed to the person that's supposed to take. Office just assumes the role earlier.
Well,
that's
so
fine, right?
Okay, so is he a Sacramento mayor where he's really not the mayor? He's just a mayor in name, or is he an actual mayor who actually really does shit?
It's a small town, so I don't know.
Yeah,
and I think that's the rub. Well, they found two people to talk to, and they have varying opinions. They asked two men, and then one woman who I always knew him as Santa Claus. Like what? Why did you ask her what she thinks?
Guess
lady reporter, ask her a question. Yeah, I don't know. Who cares?
Yeah.
Who cares? But then again, I don't live in Northeast Pennsylvania.
Yeah, so. True that.
Different things.
Speaking of different things,
yeah. Deputies in. You know what? I'm gonna just because it's something I should do.
Florida, land of enchantment. And crazy shit. This is Florida Corner.
Deputies in Pinellas County say an attorney was caught with his pants down. Ha ha! While planning to record himself having sex with an inmate as part of a project to make a video called Girls in Jail. According to the sheriff's office, I'm sorry, detectives received a tip last month that... I'm sorry. Just the tip. it was more than deputies who received the tip. All right, I need some Florida music. I'm sorry. Oh, did I pause that? Okay, there we go. Let's pause you right there. A little Florida music. According to the sheriff's office, detectives received a tip last month that Andrew Spark was paying female inmates for sexual acts at the Pinellas County Jail in Clearwater. They say Shauna Baselli, a 25-year-old inmate, claims Spark visited her in jail, even though he's not her attorney. She says that Spark offered to put money in her commissary account in exchange for oral sex, and then bragged about meeting another inmate earlier that day. She declined the alleged offer, but detectives later confirmed that Spark met privately with 28-year-old inmate Antoinette Napolitano that same day. After investigating, they say the two actually had sex inside the county jail at least six times between June and December of this year. The sheriff said on Monday that Spark would begin his interview by filming her in her jail uniform and then asked her to narrate sexual fantasies before filming her performing sexual acts. When they got the word that Spark was scheduled to arrive at the county jail to meet with Napolitano, they entered the attorney visitation room and caught him with her just as they were about to begin a sexual act. Spark's penis was fully exposed. That's when the detectives walked in. He was charged with exposure of sexual organs, introduction and possession of contraband into the county detention facility, and soliciting for prostitution. Deputies say Spark did not speak to detectives, and he requested an attorney. He should go with the Shaggy defense.
Wasn't me.
Detectives say it's possible that Spark had engaged in the same activity with additional female inmates at the county jail and at other jails throughout the Tampa Bay area and Central Florida, and he may face additional charges. I hope he doesn't like his computer because I'm sure it's going to be confiscated.
Oh, yeah.
Dumbass. All right.
Oh, man.
If you're wondering,
like, how the hell do you... I don't even know. Like, what kind of fucking deal is it that they're allowing that to happen?
Well, it's an attorney visitation area. Yeah. So they have attorney-client privilege. I don't know.
Somebody happened upon some porn. We're like, wait, that's our attorney holding area. Holy shit. Like, that's
the other chick ratted him out, dude. Right. The one who turned him down ratted him out. Mm. And you know why? Because she was probably thinking about doing it and then went, wait a minute, you're doing this with somebody else? Fuck you, dude. And then she took it. Am I right, Kareem?
He gave the other chick a better offer.
Oh, it's true.
Oh, yeah.
It's damn true. All right. So, Jason, you have a baby.
Yeah.
Kareem, you have a grandbaby.
Yeah.
You ever thought about eating placenta?
No.
Jason?
That's a firm no.
A firm no on the placenta?
Clients want something that is going to transform the space, but
it's another ad.
You can't visualize.
I'll turn that down. So if a doctor lets you have a placenta and you would like to encapsulate it, saute it, or even ink it to make placenta prints, that's your decision to make. But you should know that at least know what you're getting into. Let's see if this video has anything for you.
Placenta is the organ in the uterus that delivers oxygen and nutrients to a fetus that gets expelled after birth. If you've heard of eating human placenta, you probably have an opinion on it, that it's either nature's gift to humankind or that it's totally disgusting. Now, I won't tell you not to eat some placenta pie if you're really into that, but I will tell you that science has not found any evidence suggesting that placenta eating carries any health benefits for humans. Some wellness bloggers suggest that eating placenta could prevent postpartum depression, reduce pain, or even help with lactation. They usually suggest that you cook it or encapsulate it. Now, how did these bloggers land on placenta, of all things? Well, eating placenta isn't new to the animal kingdom. Many species, from rodents to bigger mammals, eat their placentas after birth.
Because they don't want the predators to know that there is a young baby that is easy prey.
Yeah, that's like called, like, I don't want the wolf to smell this dying meat, this rotting meat next to me.
Listen, here's the only reason that you should be eating the placenta. Yeah. If you're worried that a dingo is actually going to eat your baby.
Yeah, then eat the fucking placenta.
Go ahead.
We don't really know exactly why animals devour placenta, but one Northwestern University researcher suggested that this could be to prevent predators from smelling the afterbirth, or possibly for potential nutrition. Or maybe animals just find placenta super tasty. Now, one study even suggests that eating
cows eat the placenta if you let them. Cows are herbivores that eat grass.
Yeah, they're not doing it because they think it's cool.
Yeah. By the way, if your whole thing is that you're a blogger, go get a real job.
Mm.
You're not helping anybody.
It's a new age, man.
There's no benefit to eating placenta. Is the bottom line?
Some white shit.
They've known this for like decades. Like, we did a sketch about this like 12 years ago. Like, placenta helper. Like, this is. Yeah, Aaron Cheeseman wrote it. There's a callback,
right?
It's ridiculous. It's kind of ridiculous.
Mm-hmm. Well, As we wrap this year up, we have 10 health questions that had you asking Google, what's up? Some of the questions, what is lupus? Apparently people who just caught up to House. how long does the flu last? Fucking forever. Fucking forever. I don't have the flu, but I have had whatever the fuck I've had literally the entire month of December. I have been coughing lung oysters up for several weeks now. Mm. Little salty lung oysters. That's what I'm going to call them.
You.
Right? Exactly. Google said in 2017, the queries, there were a lot of them about the keto diet and opioids.
What's this opioid epidemic?
Last year, Zika, they searched for Zika because, again, they're a few years behind. Traumatic brain injuries because, you know, football. And cupping were among the most popular health-related searches in 2016. Not my balls.
What's cupping?
Cupping, remember when Michael Phelps was at the Olympics? And they put those suction cups on his back.
Oh, yeah, this is old.
That's cupping. That's from 2016.
Yeah.
So around the world, what is the keto diet? What are opioids? Why is addiction a disease? And 13 reasons why were among the most popular health-related queries on Google. I thought 13 Reasons Why was a black thing. I don't know. Am I getting that mixed up with something else?
I think so.
No.
Well, 13 Reasons Why, isn't that the one about the suicide?
That could be.
Yeah.
So, but 13th is the 13th Amendment. That's a documentary about.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
That's why I'm confused. So the keto diet saw a rise in popularity. It actually dates back to the early 1920s. Developed for people with epilepsy, as it was observed that fasting had anti-seizure properties, according to a 2008 paper in the journal Current Treatment Options in Neurology. This year, many people were also curious about opioids and their addiction in Google searches. Around that same time, America's opioid crisis made headlines. Duh. Let's see what else. Oh, yeah. Also, the adults and children were searching more about the Netflix series 13 Reasons Why, based on a best-selling author Jay Asher's 2007 young adult novel. The series, which premiered back in March, tells the fictional story of a teenage girl named Hannah Baker who leaves behind 13 audio recordings after ending her own life.
And that's been, they're blaming that on the rise in teenage suicides this year.
The search, how to commit suicide, rose 26% above what would have normally been expected for the time. Suicide prevention went up 23%, and suicide hotline number climbed 21%. Other experts suggested the show could provide an opportunity to discuss suicide risk with young people. Also, people were asking what causes hiccups. Nobody knows.
Nobody knows. Yeah.
One of the things with the suicide thing is, I think it's in Blink. They talk about the fact that there's this village in like Cambodia or somewhere where they never had a suicide, and then all of a sudden this kid kills himself, and then
trendsetter,
and then like every year around the anniversary of
it was in the Tipping Point.
It was in Tipping Point. So, and every year around the time of his death.
Well, I know.
You have
I know in Japan, like, I think it might be in the Tipping Point also where he talks about Japan and suicide. But I also know that, like, it's something that appeared, like, and all of a sudden it started happening among, teenage kids.
Right.
Like, in unprecedented numbers.
Yeah.
So
they may have had, the person who made it may have had thought they were doing the good thing, but it actually has the opposite effect because it makes it an option.
Right.
By at least showing it.
So here are your top 10 questions about health in 2017. Hold on. I need proper music for this, Jason. So let me get this ready for you. Make sure I have the proper music queued up. All right. Number 10, what is lupus? Number 9, what is ADHD? Number 8, what causes high blood pressure? Number 7, how to lower cholesterol? Number 6, what is normal blood pressure? Number 5, how long does the flu last? Number 4, this is probably Jason's most asked question. Why am I so tired? Number 3, what causes kidney stones? The number 2 question about health that was Googled, how to stop snoring.
Yeah.
And the number 1, what causes hiccups? Now, for Google Trends, the most popular health-related why is questions worldwide were, number 5, why is my period blood dark? Because there's no oxygen in it. Why is apple cider vinegar good for you? Why is the roof of my mouth sore? Well, it's either herpes or you drank hot tea. Number 2, why is addiction a disease? Oh, it's because people can't take responsibility for their bad behavior. If you ask somebody, I don't know. I don't actually believe that because I don't know.
Yeah.
But
there seems to be a genetic predisposition to it.
Sure. Making terrible decisions is a genetic. Again, I'm doing what I did to Kareem about the Steelers. And 13 Reasons Why was the number 1 health-related why is worldwide this year. Let's get rid of that. sorry. that was really terrible, and I apologize.
That's going to be my first reason.
Aaron Carter is your first reason why?
Just that song. Yeah. It's not even going to be like, it's not going to do anything but just play that song. Like, it just be like, reason number 1, it's just going to be that song.
Seriously, dude, if God forbid you pass away before I do, I'm going to your funeral and playing that on a boombox.
I'm going to be his bodyguard while he plays.
Actually, you know what I'm going to do? This is even better, Kareem. I am going to put it on a loop on a thumb drive on a Bluetooth speaker right near your gravestone. So it plays on a loop for all of eternity.
That's funny. I hope death is just a sweet release, and then I'm not tied.
You're just
to
down in the down in the casket underground, just hearing the slight thump of it.
Maybe that'll be my hell. Maybe like, if there's a hell, that'll be it. I'm just trapped.
It's 500 years of purgatory for Jason. All right. So as we record this show, the Cleveland Browns are 0-14. So they're almost to their perfect season. And a Browns fan has gotten a permit to throw a parade in Cleveland if they don't win a game.
This is cold. Oh my God.
That's awesome.
Excuse me. They're going for a second straight year of 0-16. That would be a hell of an achievement. Now, when this happened, they were 0-11. They're 0-14 as they'll record this. Whew, getting close. Now, Browns fan Chris McNeil has gotten permission to have a parade circle the Browns home stadium in the event the team goes 0-16, just like last year. And he has a Facebook event for the parade up and running, Browns Perfect Season 2.0.
Wow.
let me call that up for you, fellas, just so you can take a look at that. Celebrating perfection from the team that has given us nothing to celebrate since 1999. He also has set up a GoFundMe for the parade expenses because celebrating isn't cheap. It is important to note that last year's parade never happened because Cleveland actually won a game. But it is okay to dream when the ultimate goal is failure. So I don't know what's going to happen here. I mean, as we record this, they might have already won a game.
That is entirely possible.
Let me look really quick to see what their schedule is left. Oh, well, yes, they do have a chance because they just played the Bears.
Yeah, that's a toss-up.
That is a toss-up, but it is in Chicago. And then their final game of the season is at Pittsburgh. So Godspeed to the Browns' perfect season. The parade scheduled for January 6th at noon. There are 2,600 people who have said they're going and almost 10,000 more who said they're interested. Oh, God. So amazing.
It's a damn shame.
Well, let me say, that's why I do not feel bad when I see Steelers fans getting all emotional about some bad calls. So I'm like, look, if you would have been born, I don't know, 100 miles away from where you were, you'd be a Cleveland Browns fan right now. Then you'd have a reason to cry. That's all I'm saying.
Bad ownership. Man.
Bad ownership. Bad ownership, no quarterback. All right, well, let's hold on here. Let me.
Yeah, because of bad ownership. They let the money ball. You put a money ball guy in football.
Listen, the best general manager the Cleveland Browns have had in quite some time is Kevin Costner.
And he passed on, I think he's passed on like 5 quarterbacks in the last 2 seasons.
Listen, go see that Kevin Costner football movie. It'll make you feel good about the Browns for once.
Let's leave the hustle and bustle for small town news.
Hold on. There we go. This has all gone to shit.
What's going on?
It's all gone to shit, and I'm terribly sorry for that. Well, we're going now to the city of St. Albans in Vermont, where there was some concern. Oh, for the ad for Lake Champlain chocolates. They're tasty, and they're chocolate. And they've got Santas this year. Ooh. Oh, and there's a girl with brown chocolate on her face.
Yes, first in news, this is the Channel 3 News.
A bomb scare in St. Albans. Good evening. Thanks for joining us. I'm Adam Sullivan. Police responded to a business on Route 7 after a suspicious package was found in a dumpster. It happened at the Jolly's gas station and convenience store a little before noon. Police say a beeping package with wires and tinfoil was located in a dumpster behind the building. The store was evacuated while police investigated.
It looked like a piece of garbage that somebody had thrown out back of the store, but the concern was it was aluminum foil and it was had wires sticking out of it and it was making a beeping sound. So we were kind of concerned that it could be a bomb.
Investigators consulted with the Vermont State Police bomb squad and determined that the item was not a threat. They say it was likely packaging from merchandise stolen from a nearby store. Police are still searching for the person responsible.
There you go.
Beep, 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 beep.
Boom.
Oh, thank God it was just something that was just recently stolen from a nearby store. By the way, who's packaging that stuff like that? Unfreaking believable. So, anyway, let's... That's it. I'm going to wrap the show. That's it. I'm sorry.
It's okay.
We're done.
It's all right.
It's your last news show of 2017. I mean, to be fair, this year was kind of shit.
Well, 2016, yeah. Like, you know, it was like 2016 was like, hold my beer. Or like 2017 was like, hold my beer to 2016.
Well, 2016 was just a bunch of old celebrities dying. 2017 was the deterioration of America as a respected leader of the world. Potato, potato. I mean,
yeah,
sure, it's sad that these celebrities died and all. Like, oh my God, I'm never going to hear from... I can't name anyone. Name me 3 celebrities that died in 2016.
Besides Bowie,
Prince, and George Michaels.
Okay.
Oh, 2016 or 2017?
16.
2016.
Yeah, those 3.
Uh-huh. You know what I can do to make myself feel better about that? I can listen to their music and go, God damn, they were good.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I can do about America losing its place as the real leader of the free world? Mm. Nothing! I can't do a fucking thing about it!
I wish y'all could have seen that.
There is literally nothing that's going to make me feel better about that.
He just took his shirt off and now he's sweating profusely.
I don't even know what's going on anymore!
Oh, man. Yeah, fuck 2017.
Exactly. So we're gonna leave our last news show of 2017... with a little angry alternative music. from against me. So we'll see you next year, everybody. Bye.
Bye.
Oh, yeah, and do your Amazon shopping through the Shop Amazon tab at NateDarlingShow.com. You know, before the world spins off its axis into the sun. Maybe some breathing masks to help you with all of our new thick, chunky air. Maybe you want some software to, you know, to block somebody from throttling back your internet. Because, you know, net neutrality and all that. Shop Amazon tab at NateDarlingShow.com while it still works. Good luck and Godspeed in 2018.